Dave, just kind of how do you approach, I know Kyle mentioned that it's still very early, but how do you approach the roster next season, having an expanded roster, you know, and especially maybe your scholarship allocation with potentially so many players going to be on the roster?
Well, it's going to be different for every school. You're talking about Arkansas, so what I see is that, first off, we don't have any seniors, so that part didn't help us one bit. I'm happy for the seniors. It helps them, gives them an opportunity to come back and play again. I think what it's going to do is going to help a lot of the mid-majors, or maybe in a rare case where some more, I guess, Power 5-type schools happen to be seniors. I mean, when you look at, like, TCU, they've got 7 or 8 seniors, and I think contributing. So they could be one of the oldest teams in the country next year if those kids decide to come back. But for Arkansas, in our program, you know, we have some seniors academically. As far as athletically, you know, we just really had Cole Austin, who was a grad transfer, and then underclassmen. So, you know, we won't have a bunch of seniors coming back that'll, you know, that'll be on the roster. So that knocks the number down a little bit. And then, you know, we'll have a few guys sign. And then there's a few guys that are borderline signed guys that obviously we hope they come back. You know, so if we get our freshmen, very, very talented group of freshmen, there's a couple of 3 that can come in and play right now and really help us, whether on the mound or at the bat. So, you know, we just have to see what happens in the draft. We don't even know when the draft is. We don't know how many rounds are going to be. So there's still a lot in the, up in the air for us. And I think there will be things that will happen throughout the summer, you know, whether feel like somebody needs to make a move, or somebody feels like they need to make a move. I mean, something always happens, but you know, we've got many months to try to figure this out. I think there'll be, if Major League Baseball doesn't play all summer, they'll have a 5-round draft, and then they'll have free agency after that, where they're limited on how much money they can give the free agents. If Major League Baseball plays half their season or a little more, there could be all the way up to 20 rounds. If they play 100 games, there's probably closer to 20 rounds, what I've been told. If they play 80 games, you're probably looking at 10 or somewhere in there. I mean, it's all hearsay, but, you know, there's been some people in the know that I've talked to about it. And, but I do feel that there will be a draft, and when we're talking about 2 or 3 of our guys should go in the first round, you know. And, so I feel like that they will have bargaining power, and they're going to get paid the way they're supposed to if they go in the first round, second round. Third round, possibly. You know, in the third, quarter, fourth, or fifth round, if there's only 5 rounds, I don't know how they would handle that. But, you know, the good thing is if somebody decided they wanted to come back, obviously, we'd welcome them in open arms with a scholarship. So, you know, time will tell.
Also, for summer development, are you just figuring out about the double summer ball issue?
Yeah, so that's one of the issues with our coaching staff, and something I have a phone call that I'm going to be on later, and that's something that I've got to bring up. It's maybe not so much about summer ball. Hopefully they do get to play some summer ball in a couple of leagues anyway, you know, even if it's part of July and August. If they don't, I truly believe that there needs to be some type of rule where we can bring our guys in early, or if we can't bring them in early, where everything's on go normal in September, that we could go longer if we need to, maybe just spread it out, and that maybe we could play outside competition whenever we want to, whether
10 games or 15 or 20 or whatever we need to do. We can play Division I, we can play college, we can play Division II, whatever, just play some outside competition. I mean, we're worried about development. We want guys to get better. Our guys want to get better, but you do that by playing. Thank
you.
Tom? Oh, hey, Dave. Thanks for doing this. I'm wondering what type of communications you can have with your guys, and if the guidelines that they allowed last week, but does that apply to you?
Well, right now, you know, it's basically phone calls and texting, and we can give them some things they can work on. We're not coaching them. We're not getting on FaceTime or anything with these guys and telling them what to do and showing them how to do it or watching them. Honestly, not 100% sure what we can do. Example, like football, like what they're doing right now, 2 hours a week. Haven't even looked into it because we're not going to have our guys working out and making them do certain things at this time. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to do that in the middle. They're not going to be playing anywhere for a few months, and they won't be back to us until at least we do as of right now, in mid-August. So that's kind of where we're at.
Okay, and so what are front burner issues for you? Like, what occupies your day-to-day right now?
Well, obviously a couple things that are out of our control, and so I guess you can't get too uptight about it because you can't do anything about it. But, the main issue for us, get your mind around that we're not playing baseball anymore. We don't have a season. You have to look to the future and look to the roster and making sure that we put the type of team on the field that we need to be here. Just roster management being fair for everyone. And so without knowing when the draft is and the draft being put off, pushed back, I think it's going to be a mental battle for all of those coaches and a lot of the players throughout the summer. Some of it's pretty obvious, but we've got some really good young freshmen, and we don't know if they're going to make it to school or not. So those are obviously those stones that are involved there that can be moved around, and those roster spots that can be taken by other kids. And, so basically it's all about getting the player personnel straightened out, so to speak.
Gotcha. And just lastly, so you basically had to come to grips with the fact you're not going to be able to reconvene before school lets out with this baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing, just everything. Just to put a meaning to this face-to-face, it'd be able to nice to meet with the team and talk to them and tell them how much you appreciate them and, the effort that they put in and how hard they worked. And then have, our exit meetings one-on-one or the players with all the coaches talking about, what they've done, what they need to work on, their future. Some of those meetings are not great meetings. Some of them are tough meetings. We have to talk about the future. Kids are transferring different things, but still need to have those. And now, unfortunately, it's like those meetings are going to be over the phone, later on in the semester.
All right. Thanks. That's good for me.
Okay.
Drew?
Hey, Dave. Drew Evan here, Big Trail Nation. Hope you're doing well. Yeah, I just had a quick question. I know you talked about Christian Franklin, the last bell conference, strategy maybe. Would you say he exceeded your expectations this season? Are you surprised at all, just given his potential?
I guess if you would have asked me, last year at the end of the season, or if I would have thought about it, if he was the season last year, I thought he exceeded it, how much better he got. But then when he got back in the fall, and we started working out, and we started scrimmaging, we could see the development had really started to take place, between his confidence playing as a freshman, a really good summer ball, but a really good team, one of the best players on that team, on the championship in California. Coming back, he's been better, but really
really just see a lot better offensive player. So I would say once fall ball was over, we knew what we thought was, what we thought he could do and what he was doing. So a little of both. I guess it just depends on the timing. But, yeah, he definitely made a jump, and most kids did. And that's what I've seen over the years is that the biggest jump guys would usually make will be between their freshman and sophomore. And it's usually because they have the skills, they're getting stronger, and now mentally they think they've arrived and they're confident.
And then just one more in terms of personnel. I know Kate Gilfitz is a guy who is well documented how great of a leader he is, but what would you say in terms of Patrick Kerstad, just the way he's evolved as a leader, knowing that, you know, he has a presence in the clubhouse in that regard, he's had so many experiences now, having been with Team USA?
Yeah, I think Heston probably, as far as the leadership qualities, made one of the biggest jumps from his sophomore year to the fall of his junior year. Just the respect of his teammates, because the first year or two, you know, he just played, worked hard, and maybe let some other guys lead a little bit more, and we got older guys in there, and then when it was his turn, he did a tremendous job, and I think the players really looked up to Heston, because here you see this kid that's had two really good years, and now he's getting ready to start his third, and he worked hard harder than anybody on the team. And I didn't just kind of sit back and say, yeah, I'm pretty good, I'm going to go get it. He worked hard, and they saw that. So I think he earned most of his respect and his work ethic. And then he just keeps getting better. You know, he was really good as a freshman. He was really good as a sophomore. But I'm telling you, this year, he's better, a lot better. And I think, you know, you kind of saw it. And I think if we'd have played 60-plus games, which we would have, I think we would have seen him do some special things.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Yep.
Hey, Dave. I was just wondering, you mentioned Cole Austin being the only senior on the roster. Has he indicated whether or not he'll take advantage of this and come back next year?
Yeah, we talked a few days after we broke. As a senior and having a lead, I would say as of right now, he's not going to play. He's going to finish his masters. But, you know, sometimes things change. You know, because he didn't get off to a good start. He had a good fall here. He didn't go real good. He feels like he's old, you know, a lot older than a lot of guys. Maybe it's time to step aside. But sometimes when you have a little time to really think, and you know, maybe I need to finish this thing up. So I would say right now it's 40-60 that he won't play next year.
And then also with the rule with seniors not counting for, you know, roster spots and scholarships, does that apply to graduate transfers? And is that something you would potentially pursue? Like, see, you could find a Trevor Ezell type guy.
Well, those are some of the things we're not 100% sure on that we're trying to find out. So I really can't answer that. I would think that it would not count. But who's to say? You know, if you would, one school would go to another, does that change?
And one more. I had, you had a couple of guys sit down this year, transfers, Fulham Smith and Miller Fleeman. Did this count as their sit out here? Will they be eligible to play next year?
Yeah, they'll be eligible to play. It's more of a, I think it's more of a semester thing than it is maybe, you know, a year of being somewhere. So, it's Miller Klein, I mean, they pronounce that. He can go well for us in the fall. I think he'll do a good job for us next year. So, Colin, he did well in the fall and he did even better. That if he'd have been eligible, he'd have a chance to play the next season. So, as far as I know, we need that.
All right, that's all I got for today.
Okay.
Matt, you had some more questions?
just to clarify a couple of things. Do you know how this ruling will affect junior college players who are coming in? Say if it's a sophomore from junior college, are they going to be able to be a sophomore again if they come into Division I school?
I'm not 100%. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. I know that that's one of our questions as well. Because I would think it makes sense. You lost the year there because they didn't get to play. Why would they count the year when he comes here? So, for example, the two that we have committed right now, if they came in, they should be able to come in and go to the classrooms. But that would be my education guess.
And then I wonder, if the draft is moved back, does that affect who is eligible for the draft in terms of that 45-day window?
I heard it would not. I heard that they would go off of what it was going to be, so 45 days,
And then I also wonder, have you heard any stories about your players trying to stay in shape, maybe some of the things they're having to do to get creative to work out with the gyms being closed?
Well, you know, just talked to a few of them, they have strength and conditioning, I guess more weights type stuff in their basements and garages, and hitting off the tee into a net in the garage or the basement. I mean, the basic stuff. We've got some of them that probably have a tee to get into somebody's batting cage somewhere, and I think there's a lot of that going on. It's maybe not open to the public, but if you know somebody, they let you in, and it's one or two people in there. So just, a few of that.
Any more questions for Coach Van Horn? Showed early how much better he was when he walked in here, I guess, this early spring. He was awfully good. I think that he's going to be a really good draft. I think he's going to be a really good pro player, and I think he stays healthy and stays hooked up, which I feel like he will. I've been playing football for a long time. And then Casey
Opens,
obviously, he's a high-end defense. What sort of
grass
feedback do you get on
that? I mean, it's a mix with Casey. They don't know Casey like you know him. And, they evaluate you against other catchers that are available in the draft. And are they going to take this guy first because he has a better arm, or take this guy ahead of Casey because he hits better? But as far as the total package, the mental part of it, defense, the offense, I mean, I feel like Casey. Top probably three catchers in the country right now, and that there's some scouts there, they're not sure, but I think he should be a good draft. He's not drafted where he wants to, but it's the money that he really wants. I mean, obviously he would love to have him back. I think he'd get his money next to him. I'd be one of the first catchers taken off the board, but I don't see him doing that.
And if I understood the scholarship decision properly, you can expand the roster 2021, but not for following years. Is that how you read it?
That's the way I read it. And, I mean, that could make some difficult decisions. at the end of the 21 season, or if you want to be proactive, maybe start working, taking care of some of that now, so you don't have to do it next year. It's the borderline, or, you know, for sure you don't feel good about it. Maybe let them make their own decision on that. And, but that's the way I understand it right now. But, you know, we're still trying to get all that straightened out in my mind.
And now the other day you said you were hoping they kind of cycled through four seasons. You're kind of disappointed that they just doing it for the one season?
Well, I would say that I'm not 100% sure if it's just the one season, because I think they can always make some adjustments. I think once in baseball, it's just a different situation. You know, there may be other sports that they're expanding for a year. Maybe baseball, you know, they take it down over a couple, 3 years. I mean, it would be great if it was four, but if it was three, that's better than one. And I think that those are going to be some things that are going to be discussed. The SEC or some of the other leagues want to go back to the NCAA and say, hey, this makes more sense. If you're looking at student-athlete well-being, then it does make more sense, because then we aren't running guys out of here, or they're not feeling like they're forced to leave along, whatever the situation may be that they're negotiating. But, so I think that's the one.
I had a couple more questions.
Dudley, did you have any?
Yeah, great coach. Appreciate you doing this. You have a bunch of good recruiting class coming in. Have you, any of those guys or the parents or whatever talked to you, have been worried about maybe how things are going to go along? And when you break things down, how do you, what's your philosophy? And maybe I got a guy here who can help me for 3 years as a guy, opposed to a guy who's maybe not been playing a lot. How do you, what's your philosophy on those things?
Well, first off, I haven't had any parents reach out to us. And now that we've found out the ruling, I mean, yeah, that helps some of our guys, keep a status example of, I was a freshman this year, I can be a freshman status next year. So that might be concerning to the parents. But the thing is, in two more seasons, that freshman class, they're going to be draft eligible. And if you look at our roster this year, we don't have any seniors on our roster. So our juniors that are good players, for the most part, they end up signing a contract unless there's just like some injury or something. So I don't think that they should be too concerned about it, because when our guys are, let's say you go down the road 2 years and their son has just finished his sophomore year and the freshman in there just finished their redshirt sophomore year, if they're good enough, they're going to sign. And if they're not good enough, then maybe they won't play anyway, or who knows. So I haven't really had any, I'm not real concerned about it as of right now. I don't see an issue. You know, if we have four or five seniors that are coming back that are pretty good players, and then we get a log jam, I would get a little bit of that. Basically, our junior and senior situation can be a thing.
Also, if we're just, thinking there may be a five-round draft, do you have some of those signings that you think that are going to be maybe pushing into that?
Yes, we have a few kids that go in the top five rounds, and we talk to those guys and kind of have an idea that they, what it's going to take for them to sign, and there's a possibility they can get that kind of money. But we always think we're going to lose a couple. We don't want to lose four or five, because I think in a normal draft, if they were fourth round, I think that we could have as many as double digits trends that out of the high school kids that they really were drafted them on what they saw on the field. Now, sometimes they don't draft them because they price themselves out, or they've said, I'm going to college no matter what, or whatever the situation. But if they just straight up draft them because of the ability, I think there's a lot of kids that are, some high school kids, they could be double drafted.
anybody in particular that, you know, is projected to go really high?
Well, I mean, if you look around, you see Mason Lynn's name jump up there a lot, so he's probably the main one. I mean, projected maybe, I don't know, I've seen him as high as maybe Sandwich Big, like first round pick. He wants a lot of money. He's a really good player to play, you know, both. He's playing anywhere on the field pretty much, and he maybe as a late inning pitcher or closer, but I think that left him.
Thank you.
Quick reminder to mute your line and not ask a question. Bob, do you have any more?
Yeah, a couple more. Every day or pretty frequently.
Pretty much working from home. I'm in the office right now. Probably doing most of the day today. Just kind of bounce around a little bit. Try to, you know, take it serious like everybody else should. I mean, this is really dangerous. I want to stay away from as much as you can and stay. I want to get sick and I don't want to get anybody sick. So, doing what I'm supposed to do and that's stay away.
And is the field being maintained like it would
have,
you know, if it was
the
groundskeeper guys, keeping it looking good and everything?
Yeah, you know, you figure we're not out there tearing it up. I mean, it looks beautiful right now. It's as green as I've ever seen it this time of the year with all the rain we've had. And, you know, I mean, it's beautiful. It's, I mean, it's almost depressing to look at it. It looks so nice for people to play on it. Yeah, I'm sure the fans feel the same way. Part of baseball thing, the ballpark, the sights and the smells, you know, obviously the game's important, but there's a lot to it, and that's kind of something that we're missing right now.
So are they like mowing it?
Yeah, they can't let it go. I mean, they got to mow it, so, you know, they're not mowing it every day like they would this time of year. Normally, they're probably mowing it every day, third day. And I don't probably not mowing it quite as short as they normally do. They don't have to.
Do you go out and walk around on it or anything?
Yeah, I have once or twice. You want to meet me down there and go for a walk? What are we talking about now?
I don't know. We'd have to stay 6 feet apart.
I don't know if we'd get that close, Bob.
I could yell some questions at you.
Familiar with everything. You walk back in your second year school easily. everything doesn't seem so big and so stressful. And I think that's what also helps these guys make this jump. But definitely from a development standpoint, you know, not seeing as many pitches as a hitter, or hitting out or, you know, attacking hitters as a pitcher, you're behind there a little bit compared to normal. So any way that we can help these guys catch up,